Let's welcome in our District 42 Senator, Mike Jacobson. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Enjoy the Husker game on Saturday.
I'm still trying to get my heartbeat at the same rate that it was before. That was pretty amazing there, to watching the 2 points scored. And
yes.
And then I'm thinking, okay, there's too much time left here. And then when that shot went off, it was like, I mean, looking at that, you know, obviously it was a video where they were able to freeze the frame. But,
right.
I mean, I almost wonder if someone's going to challenge, say, well, that ball was halfway through the basket.
Yeah.
Doesn't that count, you know?
Yeah.
That was an unbelievable game. And Thursday will be a pretty raucous game, I think, probably. Looking how chippy it got between Florida and Iowa, my guess is it's going to be a little chippy down in Houston. So,
definitely.
The amazing thing was to listen to our crowd. When I'm listening to the announcers on the radio, driving back to Lincoln, and the announcers on the radio were during the game before our game were talking about, oh, that chant in the background, that's Go Big Red, that's the Husker fans for the next game. And this is at the beginning of the fourth quarter of the previous game.
Yep.
So you knew it was going to, either we were going to get run out of gas in the crowd, or it was going to get pretty raucous, and it really did.
Yeah, that was crazy, and just held our breath on that last shot, and they kept showing the replay of that thing, and you're right, it was... It looked like it was just going to, you know, flush on through the basket. And I guess the basketball gods, had some mercy on us and said, no, Nebraska deserves a trip to the Sweet 16 this year. So,
well, I was looking to see if Scott Frost was in the crowd or Matt Rhule or somebody was in the crowd. I don't know whether that got rid of our curse or what happened, but at any rate. Well, as we get started, I wanted to first just tell you that I was back in North Platte on Friday, and I went down to Grant on Saturday for the open house of their Western Sky Assisted Living Facility.
Yeah.
What an amazing facility that was. I mean, and what a tribute to the leadership of those in Grant to have the vision to do it, and the people in that area to contribute to that and make it a reality. They built it in basically in 1 year's time. It's just truly remarkable. After they had done the planning, but it took a year to build it from start to finish. So a really incredible facility, and congratulations to them. Then I had to drive back. I might mention I was in North Platte at the bank on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the Irvington Volunteer Fire Department from Irvington, Nebraska, which is by Omaha, parked their pickup and went in to get scooters. So I thought, I'm going to get in there and buy their coffee for them.
Mm-hmm.
Was able to get that done, visited with them about how things were going. And something I hadn't really thought a lot about was they commented on the biggest thing, that the challenge for them was making sure they were dodging the rattlesnakes.
Oh, gosh.
That were... And I think about it, in those canyons, there's a lot of rattlesnakes to begin with. And when they're trying to escape the fire, that was, and so you think about, you're running around there at night, and you're worrying also about rattlesnakes. So fortunately, they've got their gear on. So they were, one guy said he'd been 35 years on the volunteer force. And I can't say enough about these volunteer firemen. I mean, they are... These are people that are volunteering their time, volunteering their direct travel to and from fire stations, sometimes fires, with their own equipment. I mean, their own vehicles, their own gas money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys truly are heroes, and I really want to thank them publicly.
Now, certainly. We need to give them a lot more kudos. I think we kind of mentioned that from time to time, but adding the rattlesnake dimension into it, really, I would not, on that alone, I would refuse to fight a fire.
That's right. I think I'll pass. Yeah, thank you very much.
Wow.
And then Sunday, I had to be back in Lincoln on Sunday morning because our new grandson, Dennis Michael, was baptized Sunday morning.
Oh, great.
And I just, you know, when you look at coming up on Easter, having a baptism, the very miracle of childbirth itself,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's truly amazing what God created for us. And, I look at my daughter and son-in-law and say, with the help of God, you guys were able to make this child. Mm-hmm. And it's been what a blessing he's been, and a great celebration with both families being there for baptism. So mm-hmm. A very, very good weekend. Husker game was the second most important thing this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. It was a distant second compared to that, for sure. So you're dealing with the budget in the legislature and making progress on that. Where do we stand on both of the main budget bills at this point?
Well, several of us have been talking. We've come up with, I think, a path forward. And I know there was a meeting this morning that actually is going on right now. I did pass on my information, but I believe what will probably happen when the Speaker Arch reschedules it, which could be as early as tomorrow, I would expect that what really blew up the budget vote was the issue on the opportunity scholarships. And I think it's important to just spend a little bit of time to make sure people understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten all kinds of emails. I know people say, we've made it clear that we don't want public dollars going to private schools, and I get that. Here's the dilemma. We have a situation where the new Trump rules go into effect next year. So there's a one-year gap in funding for those who are low-income kids that are getting scholarships to go to private school. When you look at the number of kids, it's a huge number across the state that go to private schools. If they all had to go back, which they wouldn't, but I'm just saying, if all of them were in public schools, what would that do to our property taxes if they had to hire more teachers, build onto buildings to have room for all of these private school kids?
They
would go up. And so, and also the people that are sending their kids to private school are also taxpayers paying property taxes and not being able to get any benefit for it. So I would say that, because of that, I think about that in the back of my mind. What was in the budget originally was $3.5 million. Originally, it was $7 million, and they cut it in half to $3.5 for 1 year only, a stopgap measure that would fund those kids that are in the highest poverty group, over 185% of poverty, that there would be dollars to be able to provide them scholarships to stay in a private school if they're there today. If they're not there today, they don't get it. It'd just get them to stay in private school and help pay their tuition.
Mm-hmm.
That bill was voted out in the budget, and we were hearing a lot of pushback. The vote was going to be very close, I think. Senator Clements made the decision that, and I think there was a lot of discussion, that if the votes aren't there for cloture, there's no reason to bring it to the floor, because we'll just spend 8 hours of debate and the vote will lose and we just have hard feelings. So in the 11th hour, he did decide to remove that item from the budget. There were several conservative senators who said, I won't support the budget without that being in it. There were several others that said, I won't support the budget if that's in it. So we were at an impasse. And mm-hmm. So what happened was we worked out everything else for the most part in the budget. And then we had a vote and we didn't get a cloture vote. So That doesn't happen, rarely happens. The one responsibility the legislature has is to pass a budget,
mm-hmm.
a balanced budget. So what's happening now, I think, is there was also a child care subsidy that most of the progressives in the body want.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell you that as a conservative, I want the child care subsidy. Because it helps get people to work.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, if that were pulled out of the budget, and if the opportunity scholarships were pulled out, the bill didn't pass, or the budget didn't pass. So if we put both of those into the budget and did an up and down vote after 2 hours of debate, which is what it would be, will the budget pass? And if it doesn't, then probably pulling child opportunity scholarships out and the child care subsidy issue out of the budget, and there is a shell bill that's been prioritized by the Appropriations Committee that was to be used to carry the raises for the constitutional officers. So that bill would then probably become the vehicle to put opportunity scholarships paired up with the child care subsidy and perhaps one other issue that would be something the progressives would want. Put those together and have that bill run its separate path outside of the budget, but it would have a priority because it was designated as a priority bill by the Appropriations Committee. And then that would be an up and down vote. So that way, you would have it both ways. I've made it clear that we need to pass the budget. So I'm going to vote for the budget either way. Okay. And so the first vote on the budget is going to be with opportunity scholarships and the child care subsidy. I'm going to be a yes vote for cloture.
Mm-hmm.
And if it fails, then it's going to come back. And those items will be a separate item, and then it's just going to be a matter of what else gets added to that shell bill as to where people are going to vote. So that's the background on it. That's where we are. I think we need to get the budget passed, and there's other issues that people don't fully agree on in the budget, but the budget does need to get passed, and so I think that's where we are.
Mm-hmm. Is the governor going to be okay with the child care funding if that goes through?
He is, yes. The governor signed off on this.
Okay. All right. So probably either way, I mean, he just wants the main budget one to get passed, and he's not going to – I mean, he can line item stuff he doesn't like, right?
He can, but I think this will move forward this way. He can line item it, but then we can come back on the last day and overrule the governor's line items too. So that's also out there. It takes 30 votes to do it, but that, as controversial as these two issues have been, my guess is he would not probably want to risk that.
Yeah,
I think he wants a budget passed.
Yeah, I think so. He had a statement I saw, I think, Thursday evening after it wasn't passed, and it was kind of a little chastisement for the body, I think, down there. That's kind of...
Yeah, well, it was, and I would tell you that I support the governor. I like the governor. I wish he would not have made that statement. I would tell you that he's the one that put the opportunity scholarships in the budget to begin with. That's the item that caused the consternation.
Mm-hmm.
And so to blame the speaker and the legislature for not passing it, I think is a little disingenuous. But that's, for what it's worth, I support the governor. I understand what he's saying. I understand what he looks at here. But we just have to come together and do the right thing. And I think that will ultimately happen. It was very frustrating. I have never seen the speaker as frustrated as he was. In fact, I went to dinner here at the Capitol. They put on a dinner I was coming back to my office. The speaker was coming down the hall, asked me if I'm going to my office. I said, yes, I am. I'm going to join you. Okay, hey, Bush, come on in. And he sat down in my office, the door closed, and unloaded on his frustrations. And we had a very good talk, and we both talked through on what we have to do to go forward. And I pledged to help rally the troops and help get us to the finish line. So,
You slipped your counselor hat on then a little bit.
I did, and Senator Von Gillen and I got together and helped orchestrate a meeting the next day of the conservatives to kind of talk through the facts of life, you might say. And I hope that it had an impact.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about LB 1187. Testifiers from Western and Central Nebraska last Thursday treated an 11th-hour legislative proposal to end the state's branding wars like an incendiary bomb tossed across their still burning region. This is an article in Telegraph by Todd Van Kampen, putting his twist on it. 11 people spoke against the amendment offered by Niobrara State Senator Barry DeKay as a potential add-on to his LB 1187 to raise brand inspection fees. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, the bill itself is the bill that he brought was to be able to allow the brand inspection fees to go up, but that bill will get a white copy amendment, which is what was being proposed. And that white copy amendment is what was debated or what the hearing was about. The white copy amendment brought all these other changes to the brand law. I'll be honest with you. I think many of the changes are good, but there are those that are not. And Senator Storr and I have been working together on this to try to get a positive resolution. She and I have, I guess, kind of outlined what we think our bottom lines are going to be to get our non-objection to the bill, and so I've relayed that to Senator DeKay. He and I are good friends. I've also had a conversation with Senator Dorn, who I sit next to. He prioritized the bill and in his last year down here. We'll see what happens. I will tell you, I wrote in my article this week that given the amount of time left, the limited amount of time left in the session, the brand bill will surely be filibustered if it gets scheduled on the floor. So you're going to have 8 hours of filibuster debate on general file 4 and 2. I don't think the speaker wants to schedule that bill if there isn't a deal worked out. I think the parties are very close on reaching an acceptable agreement. I have met with both sides, and I think there is a deal to be had there. I think that one side wants the whole enchilada, which I don't think can happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is when I say it won't happen this year, the bill probably won't get scheduled if we can't get together, and we'll go another year without a significant change to brand law. I think everybody understands that the Ag Committee will have a completely different makeup next year in a new biennium. And so the best chance to get substantive changes that they had proposed would be move it this year. But I just think there are some things that need to get changed. Significant reductions in fees will happen, but there are a few things in keeping brand integrity in place that Senator Storr and I have worked on. And I think if we can reach one major hurdle, we can probably get there. And then she and I would probably stand down. And if the speaker knows that we're going to stand down, then the bill will pass, but it's got to have some changes that I believe that my constituents are telling me must be in the bill. I've had many in the area that have reached out to me and made clear where they're at, and I I don't know, right or wrong, I'm listening to my constituents, okay? So, which is why I think that's supposed to work. So,
gotcha.
So it'll be changes regardless, but if the bill passes, but I think it will be something we can live with.
All right. You were looking for the most, obviously, I know after I sent you this release from the Nebraska Farmers Union, was your opinion on this, their stance on LB 1261. They say it presents a dramatic change in how our state generates and serves unprecedented large electrical load customers, and then goes on to list 9 reasons why the bill should not go forward this session. Can you give your take on this and straighten us out on it?
Well, I've not read their specific article. I've sat through the debate. It was brought by Senator DeKay on behalf of the governor. The bill was largely written by the public power districts, NPPD, OPPD, LAS, all of them. Here's one of the challenges you need to keep in mind when it comes to power usage. We know that I had a bill a year ago that had to do with cryptocurrency, I guess it's 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Cryptocurrency and the amount of energy that they use. And so we modified how much access they would have to power. And then we also would know that data centers and AI take a tremendous amount of power.
Right.
So the question becomes, if we're going to have something like that here in Nebraska, and if they will build the facilities, they build their facilities, they will pay property taxes, they will pay sales taxes on the electricity usage, they won't bring a lot of employees, which has always been my criticism. But if they would locate here in Nebraska, do we want NPPD to build additional power generation on their own? And we're talking billions of dollars to build out these new power plants.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're on the hook for the cost to pay those bills back. They're going to need a big user out there, so then they've got to have that big data center as a user, mm-hmm. or they can't amortize the debt, or the ratepayers see significant increases in their bill. It's a chicken or the egg thing that we've had up to now. If we have a series of smaller business users that use less power than the big mega plants, and you're going to need several of them to justify building a new plant, how does NPPD cover the cost until they fully utilize the new plant? Because when they do that, they've got to pass on those expenses to their current ratepayers.
Mm-hmm.
What this bill does is allows a private entity to build the new plant on their dime, and then there would be an agreement with NPPD that NPPD would purchase the power and resell a huge percentage of it back to this data center that would use the bulk or a huge amount of that power, and NPPD would buy it at wholesale, sell it back at retail, and NPPD would have access to additional power generation that they could buy at wholesale and resell to their customers at retail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, sounds like a decent deal to me. So at this point, I'm generally supportive of what they're proposing because there will be significant new sales tax dollars and property tax dollars generated in Nebraska. NPPD would have access to significantly more power that they would then be able to allow other power users to come to the state and set up shop here. And if we don't do it, they're going to do it in other states, and those states that are in the Southwest Power Pool, which Nebraska is, it's going to be a huge energy demand, or they're going to be involved with the Southwest Power Pool. So
mm-hmm.
To me, they've left out several points on the other side that I think are huge positives, and it's why we ought to seriously look at doing this. And so at this point, I'm supportive. I have made a final decision, but I am supportive. If somebody wants to reach out to me and tell me why I'm wrong, I'm willing to listen. But I would say, as I've weighed the facts, I believe that the pluses and minuses, the pluses outweigh the minuses.
Okay, well, thanks for giving your opinion on that. Anything else you wanted to mention here?
Well, just living the dream down here.
Of course.
As I thought we would run into, things are getting a little more chippy on the budget, as I thought that it would. And, of course, the brand issue has been incredibly controversial. We've got the medical marijuana bill that was brought by Senator John Kavanaugh, which would hold doctors harmless for recommending it. I would have to say again, as I asked him on the floor the other day, that we're being asked to give some kind of special liability protection for doctors to be sued for recommending it. Do we do that for any other medicine, so to speak? Mm-hmm. And the answer really is no. So the concern from the promoters of medical marijuana is doctors are afraid to prescribe it, or it's not a prescription, it's a recommendation without this protection. And so I haven't decided how I'll vote for sure, but I will tell you that my stance on medical marijuana is, well, first of all, there's no such thing as medical marijuana. It's marijuana used for medical purposes. So the real question all along in my mind has been, how do we make certain that it's available to those people who need it and it's only used by those who need it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That last part has been the part that can't seem to get done. If you're going to have a medical practitioner, which could be a registered nurse, prescribing, or I should say recommending marijuana, then you can take that slip and go to a dispensary, get a certain quantity, I think it's 5 milligrams of marijuana.
Right.
Which, from what I understand, would make 200 joints.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take it home with you, and it's yours. And so you go home, and there's five other people there, and they split it up between the five of them. There's there to stop them, okay? Mm-hmm. So we can't ensure at this point that it's being used for medical purposes. That's been my concern all along. I have heard from some constituents who believe that it would really help them, and I don't know one way or the other whether it would. They do believe the only way they can get the good out of it is by smoking it. So therein lies the dilemma. Do we want recreational marijuana? And at this point, I don't believe that's what the voters voted for. And I think if there was a recreational marijuana on the ballot, it would fail. If it was, but being medical marijuana, it passed in Lincoln County. All the other counties in my district, it did not pass, but it did pass statewide because Lincoln and Omaha resoundingly voted for it. So I believe that the legislature has carried out all of the requirements of the ballot initiative, which was to set up the commission, set up the rules, and so on. And we've done that. But now we're being asked to do more because they're saying doctors are afraid or medical professionals are afraid to recommend it for fear that they may be sued. So they're asking for this protection. And so I'm not certain how I'll vote on this, but I'm getting a lot of advice, let's say that.
I'm sure you are.
That's the backstory.
If people like to get a hold of you, they can obviously call your office or email you, and you'll get to them when you're able to, right?
That's right. And I will tell you that Christina is out this week,
okay.
And I don't think she would mind me saying that she's in Washington, D.C. at an MS convention, and okay. I allowed her to go on this trip a year ago. Christina has MS,
okay.
although it's not progressed significantly, but does have some challenges. She did text us in the office to say that when she was deboarding the plane, she had a loose shoelace and stumbled and fell in the jetway and had some lady behind her that was rather large that stepped on her.
Oh.
But so she had to have some EMTs that helped her, but she's okay. And but in D.C. for the conference, and I would just tell you that Christina is one tough cookie. She does a great job. I'm really blessed to have her here as my AA, and a shout out to her for mm-hmm. what she does and things that she deals with in life, and how good she is at what she does here. So so she won't be answering the phone, but Tori will be here. And okay. Joshua will be here. And so if you've got questions or calls, send me emails, mjacobson with an O, leg.ne.gov. Mm-hmm. And phone number is 402-471-2729.
Sounds great, so, Mike. Appreciate your time. And have a good week down there and keep them straight, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.